This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? And welcome, showrunners, to episode number 42 of the Showrunner Podcast. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and I am joined by best-selling author and my partner in crime at the Showrunner, also the host of Hack the Entrepreneur, Mr. Johnny Naster. There was something else that we added to your title in a recent episode. I was trying to remember it there, but I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, that's true. I've totally forgotten it, too. Episode 42, though.
Episode 42. We're motoring on. Let's do something a little different for this episode, if you're up for this. All right. So I'm going to tell you my idea. Let me know what you think. And it was inspired by something that you talked about when we talked about our goals for the new year. You talked about wanting to repurpose more, you know, kind of that idea of working smarter, not harder. So you and I were recording this on Tuesday, January 12th. And just last Friday, we did a public blab session and we went over the 15 steps to a perfect podcast launch. And here for the podcast, you know, last week's episode, we did the three essential elements that you need ready at launch. And now we wanted to talk about iTunes for these next couple of episodes. Well, we just talked about that in our blab session. It was received very well. I thought the conversation was good. Why don't we, quote unquote, eat our own dog food and repurpose that and take that audio from the blab session and use it for this podcast, because only a small percentage of our audience was at that blab session, but we can let them hear what we talked about without going over all the same material again. What do you think?
Smart, smart. And it helps fulfill one of my goals for the year.
It does.
It's amazing. And
that is our goal at the Showrunners, to fulfill your goals for the new year.
That's sounds goal-y.
Yes. So in last week's episode, we talked about calls to action, all right? Calls to action during launch, how you need to have a call to action in place during launch. Where I would like to start this audio from the blab session is actually picking up where that conversation left off, in a sense, because I thought we had a really interesting conversation about calls to action. So we're going to get back into that topic and then discuss what your mindset should be and what you need to have in place before submitting to iTunes. And then next week, we'll talk about what you need to have in place after you submit to iTunes. So I will just offer a quick, not really an apology, but just let you know that the audio from this obviously isn't our normal quality because it was a blab. And both you and I, Johnny, to allow our faces to be seen more on the blab and connect better with the audience, we don't use our microphones, our normal microphones. We use our headphones that have the microphone built in. It sounds good enough for a blab session. But for a podcast, it won't sound like what you're used to, the velvety, chocolatey audio that you typically get from us here on the Showrunner. But hopefully it's good enough. So I just wanted to let you know right off the bat. And also, we want your thoughts. Like, we really want to know what you think of this episode. If you hate it that we do this, let us know. If you like it, let us know. If you have a question about it, let us know. We want to know because we're here to serve you and we want to know your thoughts.
And in case you're thinking that maybe we just repurposed something just because we're, is it quote unquote lazy? This isn't true. This blab conversation we had like 200 people came on live, and I'm going to just go out on a limb and say Jared got a bit excited. Jared actually went on the most brilliant, like impassioned, I'm going to say rant. He said it wasn't a rant, but I said, you call them rants when I do them. And
it was a pep talk.
Really, it was really, really good. And I'm hoping that fits in here. I think it does. But all I'm saying is this was a really, really good conversation. We got excited because there's a lot of people. And so we had a lot of fun with it. And so it's not just, yeah, it's, I think it's going to be worth a listen. And I think you're going to really, really dig it.
Okay, now see, here's the thing. That part at the end was not going to be in this episode. But perhaps we'll stick it at the end of the episode for those who listen all the way through.
Nice. It's worth it.
Perhaps.
Worth Perhaps.
Perhaps. All right. So without further ado, here is today's main topic, talking about how to set yourself up for success in iTunes.
Let me ask you a question here. How do you balance during the launch phase wanting to ask for reviews but also wanting to ask for subscriptions? Because we know that you shouldn't split your call to action. You don't want to have two calls to action. How do you balance both of those desires?
My first, I'm going to say 50 episodes, I actually didn't ask for reviews. Like not on the show. I asked for reviews personally and to people and anybody I could find and anybody that went onto my email list. I emailed them back and asked them, or anybody that emailed me and like, I love the show, or I would ask me a question about something. The PS was always, did you leave me a review yet? I would love it. But otherwise, I had a very simple plan. I had a very simple website. The website was set up to get people to join and subscribe on iTunes. That was really all my focus was for the first 50 episodes. And every single episode, all I said was go to hacktheentrepreneur.com and check out the show notes for this. I've added all this extra stuff for it. And that was it. Just go to hacktheentrepreneur.com. Go to hacktheentrepreneur. Go to hack until I started getting like 100 people a day, 200 people, 300. And it works. It takes time, but to this day, my call to action is go to hacktheentrepreneur.com.
Do you just want people going straight to the site?
And it's my job to set up my site to have one specific thing for people to do when they get there. Now, the one specific thing is to get on my email list, not to subscribe anymore, because there's enough people through iTunes and are subscribing. I'm good on that front. So really, it's still get to my site, and I can change my site to be whatever, to do the one thing that I want to do. So my focus was always go to the site, because it was, to me, it was too hard to go to iTunes. It's like, it's vague, right? It's not hacktheentrepreneur.com. It's like, that's specific. It was just go here. Then that funnel back to iTunes, subscribe. And then it's like, then hopefully you'll leave a rating. But
it also, what it also does is it makes your calls to action evergreen, because now, because you have a show that is not time sensitive. Like I can go back and listen to your early episodes and they're still very relevant. You know, whereas if you're doing a show like The Assembly Call, where it's very time sensitive, this is much less of a deal. But for yours now, people can go and your call to action or what you want people to do and how you direct them has changed based on your website. But where you're telling them to go is exactly the same. So your call to action can, in a sense, evolve with your listeners without it ever changing, which is a really, you know, evolve as your show evolves without it changing, which is really nice.
Okay. And so I'm being asked in here. By the good doctor, whose first name I don't know. I'm sorry.
But Leslie.
Leslie. Yes. So when I launched and told people to go to my site and show notes, did it say to leave? No, it didn't at all. It actually literally had a giant iTunes button under my player that said subscribe. So I'd have to go back to the Wayback Machine thing and look at what my site was, but I had a super simple, like I did it myself on WordPress. It looked bad, but it worked. But there was the player. And then right underneath said, subscribe how you want or something. And there was literally a giant Stitcher button and a giant iTunes button. Both of them went right directly to my page, which also under, I don't know this for a fact, but I've talked to other people and directing them directly and seeing iTunes, I think algorithm picks it up. If there's activity coming through straight to your iTunes page, not vaguely finding you through search because they don't know that you sent them that way. But if you're sending people directly to an iTunes page, they take that as interest and something that's that people is popular, right? It's like they're not doing all the work. It's like you're constantly sending them to this iTunes page. They see like 100 people a day, 200 people a day. It's like, whoa, we should. And I think the algorithm pushes you up. Because it is popularity. That's what it is, right? It's not just random searching and then them finding, which is them just providing their service, you not actually helping them at all. So that was why I made my funnel exactly like that. And I think to a certain extent, I think that's why I really, really kind of rocked out the new and noteworthy really well, because I set up that simple, simple funnel. Go to my site. Then my site was go to iTunes.
Well, I like that. I think we need to edit number three on here. And instead of a solid call to action asking for a rating or a review, it should be a call to action sending people to your site and then decide what you want them to do based on your site. you know, and then you can direct them once they get there. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the big question, is it better for people to subscribe or leave a review?
It's always better to subscribe. Like Amazon and iTunes.
Let's clarify. Subscribe to the newsletter or subscribe on iTunes?
Subscribe on iTunes is what I mean.
I'm not sure what the questioner means, if they mean subscribe to your email list or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Okay. So the way I was answering it is subscribe to podcasts. Exactly. Okay. It's always better to get the subscription on a podcast because that's a vote in favor of your show in its popularity. When somebody leaves you a review and they're not subscribed, iTunes obviously knows, and they obviously know that you're not actually leaving a review. You don't really, you just are doing it because you're friends or something, or you were paid some way to do it. It's like Amazon. You'll see right on Amazon, again, why Amazon is so much better at this. It says right beside the review, verified purchase. They track it because they'll weigh a review with a subscription way better than they will just a review without a subscription. You've never listened to the show.
Yeah.
And so always focus on the subscription. Always focus on the subscription. And that's what you want. And then hopefully that will lead them into a review or you can push later. But at the beginning for your first 8 weeks, you need to be kind of manually, and we're going to go over that part, but you need to really work off of that stage to be getting people you know to review, to subscribe and review. But right now you want your listeners, the new people, to just subscribe, always subscribe.
So what would you say about preference then between an email subscriber or an iTunes subscriber and how you should direct people?
At the very beginning,
you need to have both available. Clearly you need to have both available for folks.
Of course. But exactly. With Showrunner, we went to email first. With Hack the Entrepreneur, I was all about subscribe to the show on iTunes. For that 8 week period, I wanted to get noticed by as many new people as possible. And I wanted to, if I got somebody to listen once, I wanted them to send them to my site, subscribe through, which would then push me up even further and get me in front of more people. I started with an audience of zero. And I needed to get in front of as many people as possible. I wasn't worried so much as grabbing maybe 100 of them onto an email list in the first 8 weeks. I was worried about getting thousands and thousands of new people hearing me for the first time in that 8 weeks when iTunes would push me up in front of their audience.
And I guess the difference is that when we launched the Showrunner, we had the course in mind. And so we immediately began building the course email list, which was, you know, eventually going to be the sales list for the course.
And we had the lead that could promote it with you. We had Hack the Entrepreneur with me. We had Copy Blogger in general and Raymond.
Yeah.
We had an audience.
Yep.
Like already that existed that we could bring to this. I didn't have that. I was starting a show from scratch with nothing. And so that was the process I went. I think most people are probably in the case that I was in rather than having Copy Blogger and other popular shows backing them.
Yes.
So then I would focus on getting that subscription, making iTunes see that you are a popular show and they will move you up and they will put you in front of thousands and thousands of people daily.
And part of the reason for that is because of that 8 week time window. You know, you can get into new and noteworthy by being noteworthy later on, because that is a manual process. But obviously being new and noteworthy helps you get in there. And there's that 8 week time period. So just because you're doing it at the beginning doesn't mean that you will always be asking for the reviews over email subscriptions, for example.
Oh, of course.
Right.
Of course.
So but in this early part, because of that bump that you can get, and every show sees it, once you get a new and noteworthy, it's really important to focus there. So we spent a little bit of time on this, but I think it's important because, you know, it is going to be a little different depending on your show, depending on, you know, what you start out with, what your goals are, but be very intentional about that. Okay. Number four, write and publish show notes for your first three episodes and make sure to clearly ask for subscriptions to your show.
So this goes with having the site set up in a very basic sense with the call to action that you want. Making that call to action, as we mentioned again, so you want to launch with three shows, always with three episodes on the first day of launch, but also have the appropriate show notes. If you can make those show notes as good as you possibly can, because those might be the first ones people go to look at, and you want them to get more value. Don't just do a generic repeat of what is on the show, what they might have already heard. Give them the links. Give them everything you talk about. Give them all of that stuff because that's extra value and that's sort of an additional thing to the show audio version itself, and it'll keep people coming back to your site. When they get to your site, have that very clear call to action to get them to subscribe to your show through iTunes. You can even, I wouldn't even hold it against you. I might even encourage you to ignore Stitcher altogether. Ignore everything else except for iTunes. You're going to obviously, there's going to be some people who are going to be like, well, I'm not on iTunes. But most, I don't care how much effort you ever put into Stitcher, into SoundCloud, into everywhere else, 80% and more of your listeners forever are going to come from iTunes. So to not just solely focus there is kind of foolish. You're spreading yourself too thin. You've got a new show. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to get ratings and reviews. You're trying to get people to help you promote it. And you're trying to release new shows. It's a lot. So focus on one thing and make that iTunes, if anything. If you want to do iTunes and Stitcher, which I did because I thought it was easy enough to just do two. But I no SoundCloud, no any other directories, nothing. It was literally just, I want everybody going to iTunes.
And the other thing is you can wait for people to ask. Because, for instance, if you're not on Stitcher right away, people probably will ask. Yeah. And instead of just having it there, now can kind of be this thing that you do based on an audience request. And then you can make kind of a big deal about it and be like, hey, you know, we're on Stitcher now. So many of you have asked, and now we're on Stitcher. And you can tweet it out, and you can send an email about it, and it's exciting. And even if people aren't on Stitcher, they kind of see you expanding and growing. And so it kind of, you know, it has two benefits. One, you focus all your time on iTunes. And number two, you kind of save some bullets for later on when you need just a little injection of enthusiasm. And to you, it may seem like nothing. And even to the, you know, it may not seem like it's that important, but those little steps, it constantly shows that you're growing and you're taking the next step. And that's important for your audience to see that they're part of something that's constantly moving forward. And those little things can help you do that. Okay, by the way, I hope I didn't distract you when I was kind of bopping around. Whenever we make funny faces, know, we can just assume that we're recording a GIF.
At first, I was like, what's the other thing? Oh, he's recording another GIF.
Yes. Okay, so this is a good one here. Do research in iTunes to choose the category that makes the most sense. And this is important because, you know, a lot of people will go into iTunes and they search by category, you know, and they'll go into what's hot and they'll go into new and noteworthy and see what is there. And you want to make sure that you're showing up in the category that's relevant for you. And you don't need to choose just one category. You can choose four or five, I believe, correct?
So through iTunes, you can choose three, but we like with Rainmaker and with Libsyn, you can choose six. It works out too. So this should actually be updated too, because it's not clear enough where we say category actually means subcategory. Because a subcategory, like I'm in, my main category is marketing and management, which is a subcategory of business. But that places me in marketing and management and business, which is two categories, which is awesome. So you want to always do that. And Rainmaker allows you to do that, and so does Libsyn, to choose a subcategory rather than just a category. And then it's, you can change all of this at any point. It's not like you don't have to make this decision and you're stuck with it. You can play with different categories later. You should kind of default know your first subcategory that you want. Be like, okay, well, this is where I listen to all the shows. This is where I'm really into it. This is where my market actually is. But then like, that's what my management marketing is definitely there. But then there's like careers, there's like health and self-help. The people, there's education where there's shows like mine. So you have to kind of think creatively and strategically and be like, well, this one's not as competitive, so I can probably rank a lot higher. There's less people looking in there perhaps, but if I'm near the top in the top 10, I'll get seen by a lot more people. So even like a huge percentage of a small amount of people is more usually than a tiny fraction of a whole bunch of people. So be strategic. Your first one, your first subcategory is probably really going to make sense and just be like, obviously this one. But then after that, it's, you really have to do the research and be creative.
All right. So number six is set up your Libsyn or Rainmaker account to host your podcast and feed. Now, again, this seems pretty basic. Obviously, you need your feed. And we can take number seven with this.
Yeah, six and seven, yeah.
Yeah, you know, validate your feed with a feed validator. This is very important. Feeds can be really, really finicky. And sometimes they fail for something as simple as literally an invisible character in the subject line. Like I have had a feed bork on me because I copied over text into a headline and I couldn't even see it, but it copied over some invisible alien character that then in feed validators would bork it. And, you know, my feed is cutting off now in iTunes after a certain point. And I'm just racking my brain trying to figure out what's going on. And it's something that simple. And so you really, you know, and we just had this happen. One of the shows I host, Podcast on the Brink for Inside the Hall, you know, Alex IM'd me the other day. This is about 2 weeks ago. He's like, dude, we're at episode like 103 and the feed was only going up to 85. And we're trying to figure this out and we're looking at a feed validator and it's stopping at 85 and we just had to go unpublish a few episodes. We're still not sure what the issue was, but we finally got it to where it would be updated. But it's just a lesson that you want to pay attention to your feed. And it can be really easy to kind of set it and forget it and you're putting out episodes, but you never go look at how your show, you know, looks in iTunes, how it's showing up, what the experience is. I think, you know, for almost every show that you do, and I have four or five of them, but I always go in and do this. I just go in and look at how it looks in iTunes once a week, just to make sure new episodes are getting in, just to make sure my title looks how it is. 98% of the time, it looks exactly how I think it's going to. And then there's a couple times where one of the titles looks weird, or, you know, my description isn't what I meant because there's a typo in it. Or actually, it was kind of funny with the assembly call when you looked at the description. I think I might have sent you this, Johnny. When you looked at the description on the mobile app for iTunes on an iPhone, it cut off. What were we saying? Like, these guys assemble, but it cut off after the second S. And so it was like, these guys ass. And it just looked really weird, like just because of where the word cut off. And it's just one of those awkward things. You can just rearrange the wording, but just see how it looks. And the other thing, too, with setting up your feed is, you know, pay attention to your title, to the author, to the description, to the metadata that you're giving, because you want to make sure that when people search for keywords relevant to your show, that you will surface. So no one was going into iTunes searching for assembly call. They were going into iTunes searching for IU basketball podcast. So I needed to have in my title assembly call, IU basketball podcast and postgame show. Those words needed to come out in my description, in other keywords in there. And that's where you set that up. And the beautiful thing is, all you have to do to edit your feed in iTunes and everywhere else that it is just edit your feed. Rainmaker makes that really easy. Libsyn makes that really easy. But it can be a really easy thing to set and forget. And I actually recommend that you set and kind of go back just every couple weeks and just look at it. Just check. Just make sure. Again, most of the time it'll be okay. But you can really never be too sure with those things because it could be the difference between your show not getting found at all and it getting found hundreds of times because people are searching this specific keyword.
Yeah, exactly. And it's surprising how often it actually screws up your feed somehow. Yeah. And so actually a little tip or hack, I guess you could call it, that I use and that, I mean, that coders and programmers have mentioned to me to use, and so now I do it, is I write up my show notes or blog posts or whatever in right in Rainmaker or right in WordPress. But then I copy and paste that and I post it into a notepad document or a text document, depending on what device you're on. And that actually strips away the stuff that you don't see, those weird missing parts. And then you can just post it back into your site and it will get rid of a lot of the stuff that will destroy your feed. Those weird invisible characters and stuff that HTML creates, the notepad files will get rid of it.
Yeah, that's one of the things I hate about feeds, but just know it going in, anticipate that there will be issues. And that way, you know, just set a to-do list and just check it every couple of weeks. Plus, and it's nice, you can go in and read your reviews, kind of see where you're showing up. It's just good to know that information.
Yeah, and just as you set up your feed, like leading up to launch, as you're getting ready and getting more shows ready, go to Feed Validator and put your feed in. Don't try and do it. The amount of panicked emails I've received from people and tweets like, oh my God, I'm supposed to go live in 4 days and iTunes turned down my feed. It's like, dude, have you gone to Feed Validator? And you look and it'll tell you the errors and you have to fix them. Like, I've honestly never seen somebody create a feed and just submit it to iTunes and it works. Feed Validator, there's always something goofy and you just have to fix it and make it better. And then, but don't leave it to the last minute. Keep this handy for the 2 months leading up to your launch and know that you have to do that well in advance of needing to be live on iTunes.
All right. Well, we hope that you enjoyed that. We certainly had fun doing it. We look forward to doing more of these public blab.im sessions, as well as doing the private blab.im sessions for our course members. And there's another reason, Johnny, why we wanted to do this today, because this is our normal time every week where we get together and chat. And we have something kind of exciting that we're planning for the first week in February. And so not recording a new episode today, or not recording a new main topic, did give us a chance to spend about 20 more minutes talking about the launch of the Showrunner podcasting course, which is coming up. I believe we have a date.
We do, indeed.
Do you want to reveal that date?
Wednesday, February the 3rd.
The course will be back open for new members. And if you go to showrunnercourse.com right now, there is a sign-up form. You want to be on the email list, because as soon as we launch, you will be notified. You will be able to get in, get started, join the community, learn from all the wonderful materials in there, and also find the little Easter eggs that we hid throughout the course, which we had a lot of fun doing. So we do want to remind you of that. So I have a podcast recommendation of sorts. It's actually a bit of a podcast un-recommendation. And I'm really curious to get feedback from the audience on this one, because I want to know what people think. I know you're not going to care, because you were out on Serial Season 1 anyway. Well, let me not assume. Have you listened to Serial Season 2, any of it?
Nope.
Okay. That's what I thought. So I have listened to Serial Season 2. I made it through the second episode, and I just wasn't feeling it, and I stopped. I've talked to some other people that have had a similar experience and stopped around episode 3 or episode 4. And to be fair, I've talked with other people who are still in it, really enjoying it. But it just didn't capture me. And it's interesting how Serial went away from kind of the true crime element that I thought really made season 1 take off. And season 2 doesn't have that. It tells a story where it kind of feels like we already know the ending, which is part of why I guess it didn't really capture me. And so I know that they got tons of people to listen to episode 1 and probably episode 2, but just because, you know, the hype, the buildup, Serial Season 2. But I'm really curious if you're still into this. If you were a Serial Season 1 listener, are you still listening to Serial Season 2? I'm not really recommending it or not recommending it either way. I'm giving you my experience that I'm out, but I would certainly encourage you to listen to it, unless your name is John Naster and you just hate Serial. Listen to it, see what you think, but I would love to know if you keep going. I'm just curious. Tweet me at Jared Morris, JerodMorris, because I would love to know. Do you, Johnny, have a podcast recommendation for this episode?
I do, yes, for sure.
Excellent.
I'm going to recommend a show that most people know, but maybe some people have recommended that they don't listen to it, but I think that they should. I'm going to totally recommend Serial Season 2 to everyone. To go out and listen, because I think I heard that it's really, really good, and that it tops season 1.
You're a jackass.
I totally didn't have a recommendation. Sorry.
All right. everybody just, listen to Serial Season 2.
Just, you're a jackass.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Sorry,
so,
Toby. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, Toby. Okay. So, our call to action this week. We already really told you what it is, which is go to showrunnercourse.com, get prepped. If you aren't a member of the Showrunner podcasting course, this will be your chance to get in on February 3rd. So get on the email list. You will also get our central elements of Remarkable Podcast content series. We're still working on a free course. We're working on some other materials. When you're on the list, you will get first access to all of that. So make sure that you get on the list. A reminder that next week we will be following up on today's discussion about iTunes by talking more about the actual iTunes submission process and getting reviews. Today was setting yourself up for success in iTunes. Next week, it's really about driving yourself towards success in iTunes from submission on. So that will be really good. And other than that, just come back and join us next Wednesday for another brand new episode of The Showrunner.
Totally. Yeah, it'll be great. It's going to be fun.
All right, I'm writing down.
I love that call to action, man. You do a mean call to action.
Is it? I hope it's kind and friendly and inviting.
It is, totally. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's what I don't mean mean like, grr, go well, do
I don't
this.
Know.
I mean mean is that you do it, you execute it really well. So I just try and stay out of it.
don't know, this heel turn that you've had here in 2016, your podcast recommendation, jackassery, calling me mean. I don't know if I like this new non-human John Nestor.
I'm a best-selling author, man. I don't need to deal with anyone's nonsense anymore.
All right. Well, I'll have my people get in contact with your people so we can set up episode 43. All right. We'll talk to you soon, everybody.
Because they would just multiply. That's just how it works.
Yeah. And be careful of the constant growth mindset. Also understand the nurture mindset, because we get so focused, especially in those early days, we see this rocket exponential growth on iTunes and we want it to continue. And so when that dip eventually happens, we get a little bit discouraged. But I think that's a great time to step back and feel really grateful for the people we have, and focus on our last 100 instead of our next 100. And there's a few different ways to do that, because, you know, I've been really discouraged with the assembly call at different spots, right? And now we're in our fifth season. We're simulcast on the radio in Indiana. We're getting listener support. Like, all these great things are happening. But before every single season, I questioned whether I wanted to keep doing it. And actually, one of the biggest things I did that helped reinvigorate me was when I went to create the landing page for email subscriptions. And I sent out an email to our current email subscribers and just asked for testimonials. And so many people who I'd never even interacted with sent me back testimonials of how much the show meant to them that I had no idea about. People who were overseas, who thought it was their one connection back to their university and to their community, and like all these things. And I had no idea. And that right there kept me going, because I thought, you know what? Even if I don't grow in the next 6 months, I've got these people who love this show, and that's worth me going and creating something special. And of course, a funny thing happens when you do that. That natural enthusiasm helps you grow the audience. And so, you know, I would really, when you get to that point, really stress being grateful for the people you have and then doing something about it. You know, pick out 5 of your audience members and send them a thank you, just a thank you email for being an audience member. Not only will it help lock them in, it will make you feel better. And you remember that these aren't just numerals in the back end of a dashboard. They are individual people who give you their time to listen. And that is so awesome. And it is so great. And it is so hard to do and to build one by one, that the fact that you have 10 or 100 or however many you have is phenomenal. And sometimes you just have to get back into the mindset of what you did to get those people to get the next 1,000. So whatever you can do to get back in that mindset and rekindle that enthusiasm, do.
You just ranted. That was awesome.
Was that a rant?
that was
a pep talk.
Totally. Well, that's what I feel mine are too. But they've been called, quote unquote, called rants now. I feel like I'm giving pep talks. That was awesome, right, man.
No more. Okay. We won't call them rants anymore. From now on, so pep
talks. It's so true. You can't forget that those are people. Like, it's getting 100 people or getting another 1,000 people on your list they're not numbers. They're real human beings that actually want to interact with you. Don't forget about them at all. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, you can have a really successful show with like 500 super dedicated listeners rather than 5,000 people who don't really care. You really can. It's not about amazing numbers. It's about amazing interaction and relationships with your audience. You're the host. You're the showrunner. Make these connections. Make every single one of them count, and you will be astounded what will happen.
You will. I think that's a great point to end on.